This is Let's Talk Big, the Big Read with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel. The Owens Community College Campus Read is taking place now and throughout the semester, with the goal of bringing awareness of different perspectives through books. The Campus Read book is How We Fight for Our Lives by Saeed Jones, and tells the story of how each of us creates a place for ourselves in this world. Here to share their insight from the book is Owens Community College Director of Library Services, Jane Berger, and Professor of English, Jennifer Hazel.
We're here to talk big. I'm Jen Hazel. I have with me Jane Berger. And as promised, we have the Saeed Jones here. Yay, Saeed, thank you so much for doing this. We are so excited to talk with you, and the campus and our community is just buzzing for you to be here on the 28th. So to get people excited, we have a few questions we want to ask you. Jane?
You're a poet, and I have read some of your poetry. We have your books in our library, and after people read your memoir, they were quick to check out your books of poetry. And we know that you have written for BuzzFeed. So tell me why you chose to write your memoir now. You're still so young. There's so much of your story left to tell.
There are, you know, a few reasons. One, my first book, Prelude to Bruise, which is obviously a book very close to my heart. It is, in some ways, an extended metaphor based on identity. It kind of has a main character named Boy, who is a Black queer man living in the South, whose life, the circumstances of Boy's life, are actually very different from my own. And so when Prelude to Bruise came out, you know, I would do readings, I would have conversations like this one, and people would ask me questions about my life, assuming that everything that happened in Prelude to Bruise was autobiographical. He has, for example, a very complicated relationship with his father, and so they would start asking me questions, and I would have to kind of correct them. Oh, that didn't happen to me. You know, our culture has a very interesting relationship to the word I when it appears in poetry.
Yeah.
So I think just the experience of having those conversations, and also authors use books in different ways, and I think to a certain extent I needed to write the poems in Prelude to Bruise with a sense of distance, with a sense of persona and character and fiction, to build the confidence to then say, yeah, I can write my own story. So that was one reason. Pragmatically, I was like, kind of like, let me correct the record. I don't want people kind of making mistakes. But then also grief, internalized homophobia, racism, our collective relationship to masculinity, and I say like toxic masculinity, in that I often feel that, and we see this unfortunately in so many ways, right, in our culture, it feels like masculinity and its issues are everyone's problem. whether you're a man or not, obviously we have men in our lives, but so much of what's going on in the United States, I think, really is related to these issues we have with gender, sexuality, and power. It was like, yes, I think I've had these experiences that are worth writing about in terms of the context of kind of putting my own coming of age story down on the page. But also, I would just kind of look at it. It was like, read the news and like look at what's going on. And I just felt like writing my memoir would give me an opportunity not just to talk about what I went through, but what we are still going through together.
I think it is what so many of our students and even some of our faculty and staff members, I mean, your book resonated so much with our campus community. It opened eyes, it brought to light, I think, something that hadn't been talked about, I guess. I don't know why not, but I think it's done a world of good to open up conversations.
I'm really grateful to hear that.
And that's part of our goal here, Saeed, is that we choose authors and choose books that help promote perspectives that are different than our own. And this definitely has done that. I also love when you were answering Jane's question, how you were talking about the collective experience. And that's what you're getting at. And I think that that's so important. It's your story. It's similar to other people. Other people may have similar stories. And even if not, it resonates on some level with something with them. So can you tell us about your experience writing this? Was it therapeutic for you? How long did it take? Tell us about the research.
Sure. You know, it's like kind of depending on the framework, you could say this book was a decade plus in the making or maybe 5 years in the making. You see in the book, I think in Act 3 that after the events of Phoenix, Arizona, I immediately start trying in a really kind of unwieldy, maybe not even healthy way, to write about what happened to me. Because this book is about coming into my identity. It's also about me coming into my life as an artist. And writing, storytelling is, it's not just my job, it's also how I make sense of the world. The earliest versions of some important chapters I actually wrote in graduate school. The opening chapter with the color purple and of another country and the photograph, I wrote a version of that in graduate school, actually. The Memphis 1999 chapter, the church scene, I wrote that in graduate school as well. And then all the way, it took, you know, all the way to maybe 2012 before I was able to really write about Phoenix, Arizona in a coherent way. And I published an essay titled How Men Fight for Their Lives on the Rumpus in 2012. Roxane Gay edited it. When I wrote that essay, and it's like, you need time. It's like, it's one thing to know you have a story to tell. It's another thing to really have the tools and the framework to be able to do it in the way you want. But when I, in 2012, when I finally was able to pin down this essay focused on Phoenix and really about masculinity and the way we're all grappling with it and internalized homophobia, both for me and the man who attacked me, right? We're both going through a lot. That's when I was like, oh, okay. And suddenly I was, it was like webs, like Spider-Man, going out in every direction or something. Suddenly from that Phoenix, Arizona essay, maybe 2,000 words or something, I saw threads connecting to the photograph in my mom's copy of that James Baldwin novel. I saw a thread going to that moment in the church with my grandmother. And so all of a sudden by 2012, these different personal essays that I liked individually, it was like a map suddenly was uncovered. And so that's when I, you know, in a coherent focus, I am working on a memoir kind of way, I got to work.
Wow. I was telling Jen, I'm a hugger. COVID was so hard for me because I wasn't allowed to do that. And after reading parts of your book, I'm like, I just want to meet him. I wonder if I can hug him. I just feel like I need to hug him.
And we can totally hug.
Those parts that you just mentioned, I mean, I can only imagine how you felt because it just tore at me. How could people do that? The relationship you had with your granny, it just, we'll talk about this when we see on the 28th, but I have another question. Do you have a routine for writing? I know that some writers dedicate certain hours. Okay, I'm going to get up, get my coffee, and I'm, you know, I'm going to sit down and bang out several chapters. Was it hard for you to share that? I mean, these are very, obviously very personal stories because it's your life. Was it hard for you to share, or was it cathartic in some way?
You're right. It's a range. It kind of depends when. I would say, I find I don't have a consistent process that I can tell people, like, yes, this is always how it works. I will say some things. I will say I tend to write, prefer to write, like, in the first half of the day. I'm not a nighttime writer. I think consistently over the years, it might have changed when, but generally speaking, it's, like, before lunch. It's probably when I'm getting most of my writing done. I prefer to, particularly with, I think, the memoir, any text that's really personal and I'm really going there, maybe going deep into memory, I need to be alone in a space. Usually that's at home. You rarely would see me, Saeed Jones, working on a chapter of this memoir in the middle of a cafe. I can't really do that. I can do like poetry or cultural criticism and be people watching, but for a lot of this it was like I needed to be home. Or in 2015, when I sold the book on proposal and it was like, okay, I really need to get into it, I took a 4-month book leave from work. I was working at BuzzFeed News at the time, and I spent about 3 months of that time in Provence, France, in these little villages, and I would just find Airbnbs so that I could actually have, first it was like the isolation, like I didn't have a car, I was like in villages, I would have like maybe one bakery, one grocery store. It would take me all day just to really write. Usually, you know, if I might write for like 2 hours, and that it would be a really intense 2 hours. It's kind of like to the point you're saying of like catharsis, working through emotion. It's not that it was cathartic. Writing is not therapeutic to me. I'm certainly capable of writing about really difficult, challenging experience. And I think writing it well, and then like it's a mess. I am no better. You know what I mean? I still need to go to therapy. I still need to do the life work. But I think that isolation helped me. And I'm just trying to think of an example. The Laramie Project chapter where I go through the little play. I remember that I was writing that in France. And I think the isolation, I mean, one, it just allows me, it's kind of like when you're totally isolated, you're left with yourself and you kind of have no escape from memory because your mind becomes so active because you're not talking with other people. And so it was like my mind and the next, and that's how I'm like able to be like, okay, so what was the classroom I was in? What would be the pathway we would take down the hallway to get to the auditorium? All those little details. And of course, like having the time to read and reread the play itself was powerful. And then just by chance, when you're in that isolation, you never know what can come at you and the connection. That was the morning that I woke up to write that chapter. The morning I woke up and learned of the church shooting in South Carolina. It had just happened. And then I pick up the script of the Laramie Project, thinking about Matthew Shepard. And I was so struck that in the play, several people in town keep saying, this is not Laramie. This is not us. And then other people were saying, this is exactly who we are. We need to confront our homophobia. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing was happening in the news about South Carolina. This is not who we are. Yes, it is. So I think when, again, you kind of talked about the collective, that's where those echoes come from. Me just kind of being isolated and unexpectedly connecting those dots.
Did you know, like, you know, from an early age, did you always want to be a writer?
I think to a certain extent. I mean, I knew I loved the art. I loved reading. I loved storytelling. I know by the time I was in high school, it was pretty coherent. I remember I was just telling someone that because I was fortunate enough to have another poem appear in The New Yorker a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, I remember writing down when I was a junior in high school, I will have a poem in The New Yorker magazine one night.
That's awesome.
Like I was a very, you know, kind of determined student.
Goals
in
by
that
Saeed,
regard. So yeah, I don't think I knew what it would look like, what that life would look like. That took time. I remember being in Lewisville, Texas, and when I was growing up, and the concept of books, it just, I had no idea of the inner life of a book, the process. I just knew that books existed. But that idea of creating art that moved people, I knew that I wanted to somehow be a part of that experience.
Thank you, Saeed.
It is.
We are over the moon that you're going to be here on the 28th. So without giving too much away, what will people expect to hear you talk about when they come to see you? But not too much. I know you're a talker, but not too much. So dial it down a little bit. Think about what you're going to say, then dial it down a little bit, and then give us, because we really want people to come and see you and enjoy in this collective experience that you're talking about.
I'm excited to meet the moment. How We Fight for Our Lives, again, I was just trying to do my best to honor my life and the lives that made my life possible, my grandmother, my mother. And I'm so moved that it's resonated with people. But it's also true, we're living in a really challenging time where a lot of people frame it as identity politics. I just think it's politics. It's just power. We're in this moment where a lot of people feel scared, anxious. Is it okay for me to be myself? How am I going to be myself? And so I think, in short, I'm excited to use the book as a jumping off point, both to bring it to life for the community there. Some people, it's just like, exciting to meet a real life author so that the concept of creating books isn't so mysterious and abstract. But also I'm excited for us to be able to use it to connect, because I think that's the real challenge of our moment right now. How do we honor people who aren't exactly like us? How do we connect with people when we don't have everything in common with them?
Absolutely. You were talking my language. So this whole academic year, our focus was on identity and race and sexuality. And so I think that this is just going to really cap us up really well. I'm just thrilled. Like, I suppose I could say something else about that, but I'm a groupie, so I'll just let that go. That is going to do it for us at the moment. We will have Saeed, you'll be able to hear him the following week on the 28th in person, and again back on our podcast for the second half of this interview. For myself and Jane and ye Saeed Jones, we're going to keep talking big.
Join us again for Let's Talk Big, The Big Read with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel.